Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. Today, New York University said they've offered Chinese dissident Chen Guangcheng a spot as a visiting scholar. Earlier, the Chinese foreign minister said that Chen could study in the U.S. under a student visa, like 300,000 other Chinese, a face-saving compromise that allows this staunch critic of the Chinese government to leave the country, but not as a heralded exile. The NYU offer is not a done deal, but the news adds to the diplomatic roller coaster ride this has been for all involved. As the activist went from house arrest to a dissident sheltered in the U.S. embassy to a hospital where he decided he didn't want to remain in China for fear he and his family wouldn't be safe. Jerome Cohen is the law professor who arranged the NYU offer. He's a longtime friend of Mr. Chen's. Professor Cohen, what do you think happened here? Chen seemed happy when he left the embassy, then frightened in the hospital. Was he tricked out of the embassy? Was he betrayed by his U.S. handlers?
No.
What happened?
You know, they did their best in a very creative way, working night and day for several days. They seem to have omitted one detail. Everybody was so tired. They got him well ensconced in the hospital, and they all went home to bed, and nobody stayed behind. I don't know whether they could have or would have negotiated the continuing presence of somebody on the staff to stay with him. One of the problems we worried about when I talked with Chen earlier this week was, would there be restrictions on his freedom to communicate with his friends in the human rights field? And would there be restrictions on his ability to communicate with the media, foreign or domestic? And that was a very important detail that I wasn't clear about, and I'm not sure the negotiators had got down to.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, the deal begins to be executed. He gets to the hospital, and one of the first things that happens is he's able to communicate with his friends. No restrictions. He was able to talk to them repeatedly. And he was also able to get access to the press. They were able to call him up. And it was getting late at night. Everybody else had gone to bed, and he discovers the place is infested with Chinese security police, some of whom had come from Linyi and his impoverished rural township where they'd been torturing him and his wife. And he's all of a sudden, where's the U.S. government? And by the way, where's my food?
Well, I have to ask you about this, because the New York Times is reporting that the U.S. made a misstep, that they didn't negotiate to have guaranteed access to Mr. Chen in the hospital. You're saying it's not that they didn't have access, it's just that everybody kind of got tired and went home.
We don't know whether they negotiated that or not. We do know that they went home. And we do know the place had all these plainclothes security people around. And we do know that based on their unfortunately very sad and extensive experience, some of China's leading human rights activists said to him, "What are you doing? Why did you give up this shelter? What's this zany idea about? Go back to the shelter of the U.S. Embassy." And he was getting all this conflicting advice from people who didn't know about the arrangements but thought they were implausible. And they were saying in good faith what they thought he should be up to. And there he is alone, nobody to talk with from the embassy to explain what was going on, give him continuing comfort. That's the only thing I can say to fault the embassy scenario. These guys did their very solid best, and they were genuinely concerned about him. That's how I got called into the deal. I wasn't part of the embassy negotiating team or strategy. They said to him, "Do you want somebody to consult with independently?" He said, "Yes." And they said, "Whom do you want?" And apparently he said, "I was the only one he could trust." I first met Chen here in New York 10 years ago when he came on an international visitors fellowship.
Well,
that's how I got into the deal.
So now, obviously, you've made this offer through NYU for Chen Guangcheng to come to NYU. How much would you like to see that happen? And what about his original thinking that he was better off staying in China at this historical moment where he could maybe affect change?
Maybe we can have the best of all possible worlds. The agreement with China called for three stages. After the hospital, a year of study in a Chinese institution, at the end of that year, possibly going then to the NYU Shanghai campus, which will open in September 2013. And then again, a third step, he might want to come to NYU in New York and be among our visiting scholars. Now, what we're likely to have is a somewhat reversal of the situation, where he'll come here for a period of rest, study, and repose, and then he'll see, I hope he'll still want to, go back and be part of Chinese life and help develop the Chinese legal system.
Yeah. Do you think he'd be safe doing that, Professor Cohen?
We don't know yet. China is evolving. This case itself will play an important role in alerting people to the importance of human rights. He's only 40 years old. He knows the history of dissidents who come to this country from China. It's not very impressive in terms of their continuing ability to affect events in China or even to help educate American opinion. I'm an optimist. I've seen a lot of progress in China in the last 50 years, and I think a way can be made for him to safely go back. At what point, we'll have to see.
That's Jerome Cohen, New York lawyer affiliated with New York University and a friend of Chen Guangcheng. Professor Cohen, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.